Welcome to Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z. This podcast is all about conversations about healing and rising from the ashes of your grief and trauma. In this podcast, we will be deconstructing and highlighting the different aspects of grief and loss. I'm your host, Dr. Christina Zampatella. Hi, welcome to Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z. I'm your host, Dr. Christina Zampatella, and today I am here with Christy, who is going to share her personal story with the loss of her son. It's a very deep and touching story, and I'm so blessed and lucky that you're willing to be this vulnerable with us today. So I really appreciate you being here. So I'm going to have Christy introduce herself and tell a little bit about her story, and we'll just go from there. We'll just kind of look at this as more of a dialogue than anything. So,
okay.
All right. You guys all right? Yeah.
All right. Hi, I'm Christy. I had my son fairly young, and I had a normal pregnancy, so I thought. And as soon as he was born, he was a floppy baby and was blue, so I knew that it was not going to be a normal normal life for him. So
what does floppy baby mean?
So when babies are born, they actually hold him up like by their belly.
Uh-huh.
So they usually like go like this,
okay.
But he just laid like a rag doll.
Oh, okay.
So that's a floppy baby.
That's a floppy
baby. And okay. He had a hard time breathing. So they whisked him away to the intensive care, the NICU. And they basically didn't know what was wrong. He was transferred to the NICU at a local children's hospital. They did a muscle biopsy, and we found out that he had nemolyn rod myopathy, which is a really rare muscular disorder. There's, I think he was one of three children in this state that had it at the time. It was all over the place from there. So in the beginning, he kind of did all the normal stuff they said that he wouldn't be able to do.
Like walking, talking, that kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So he was meeting his developmental milestones.
He was, even though they didn't think he was going to.
Okay.
And at 14 months old, they decided to take his tonsils and adenoids out because he had sleep apnea, and his lungs collapsed.
Yeah. During the procedure?
No, after.
After the procedure?
Yeah, so the thing with these kids, and I'm not quite sure why these doctors didn't know, but they're not supposed to go under anesthesia.
Oh.
Yeah, because it hinders their breathing.
Oh.
Yeah. So his lungs collapsed. He was medevaced up to Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, and you know, the hospital here, they're like, oh yeah, they're going to put him on this really great, you know, machine. It's called ECMO, and he's going to be just totally fine. And when I got up there, I couldn't go in the helicopter with him, but I get there and the doctor said, you know, we put him on nitric oxide and we typically need parental consent, but we thought he was grave enough where, we didn't need your consent, but he still has a 0% chance of living.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I basically just looked at her and was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because at the other hospital, they just told me that, you know, it was this great, wonderful machine. So anyway, he did miraculously respond, and we were in the hospital for 4 months. He went home trached.
4 months?
Mm-hmm. 4 months, yep. He went home trached. He was about 18 months old, and then he was, you know, in and out of the hospital the rest of his life. He passed away at 15. Yep. Lost his right lung when he was about 4 years old, so he was only working with one, but we still got 15 years out of him, which I'm incredibly grateful for, yeah.
How did he pass?
So his other lung basically gave out. He had bronchiectasis, which is basically like scarring, like holes in his lung.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that was pretty much it.
It's like a suffocation.
Pretty much.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can you share with us what this time of your life was like emotionally?
Chaos is the only word that comes to mind. Yeah, trying to grow up because I was young. Sorry. Trying to build a career. That was hard.
At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
There's no need to apologize.
Yeah, chaos is pretty much the only word that I can think of.
That must have been incredibly difficult to figure out how to navigate so many complicating, so much complicating information coming in, you know, at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
So I just can only imagine, how do you organize all that information in your mind and in your heart while trying to keep your child alive?
Right. So thankfully, I had a lot of help. He had amazing nurses. Obviously, he needed it. He was on a ventilator.
Yeah.
So we had close to around-the-clock care, thank goodness.
Okay.
So that was, you know, that helped a lot. And then I just knew for myself, like, you know, he's not going to be here. So I have to get myself right.
You were already going through an anticipatory grieving process.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were trying to prep
yourself.
The minute he was born. You were already like, I've got to be prepared that there's going to be a day where I miss him.
Yeah.
Introduce us to him.
His name is Brendan, and he was amazing. He really was. He was the funniest kid that you could have ever met. He was so talented, amazing artist, like self-taught. He was so great. Thank goodness for the internet, because he had a lot of friends.
Oh.
He's somehow connected with them. I don't even know how. I guess I should ask his best friend how they ended up all meeting. But he had a great group of boys that he was friends with, and they would like prank call like Walmart and like, you know, just random places. And it was, you know, I loved it because he had a normal friendship with these kids.
Yeah. So funny and talented and
hilarious, actually.
Like flat out hilarious.
Like hilarious. Like just the best sense of humor. He was so damn funny.
Yeah.
And so talented. Like I remember I just told the story yesterday. He wasn't aware of his limitations. Like this kid, he's on a ventilator, he's trached. He's got this massive wheelchair that he rides around in. He's in school, and there's some big kid picking on one of my girlfriend's daughters, who was this like tiny little peanut. And my son got really pissed that she was crying. So he went up to this kid in his wheelchair. And mind you, he can barely hold a teddy bear up. Like, he is not strong at all. So he goes up to him, right to his face, and he's like, "Who the hell do you think you are? Pick on somebody your own size."
Wow.
I'm like, "Oh my God, Brendan, who said that?" Yeah, so he was definitely larger than life. Yeah, and the kid never bothered her again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at him sticking up to the bullies.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yep. He was really sweet that way. He was an Eagles fan, like you would not believe. Philadelphia sports team, he was obsessed with. Yeah, he turned into like a different person when he watched sports. So he would yell and curse at the TV to the point where his nurses are like, "Chrissy, I think we might have an issue." I'm like, "He's fine. Just leave him alone. He's fine. Like, he's fine otherwise." But he was super caring, super loving, just the greatest kid. Yeah, I feel blessed.
You miss him a lot.
Of course. Yeah, understand that. Don't make me cry.
I'm a psychologist. That's our job.
Great.
I'm teasing. I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
It's a lot to take in. Losing your child is, I think, the most unspeakable loss that there is, no matter whether or not you were anticipating it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it changes who you are in the world.
Yeah. Definitely makes you less tolerant to bullshit, that's for sure.
Is that what's happened for you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because it's like, when people complain, it's like, you're alive.
You know? What do you have to complain about?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Where are my tissues? I got tissues around here somewhere.
They're right behind you. Can you grab me one?
Yeah.
I don't want to mess my makeup up, you know. Priorities. Priorities. Thank
there you.
There you
go. I think that when we have such massive losses, and we've been talking about this all day today, so, you know, poor Tony's here and it's all day today, but who you are in the world changes, and I'm sure how, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure how, you know, his that his loss changed how you understood who you are in the world and how you understood what it means to be a mom and the responsibilities that fall on you that are so heavy that, you know, nobody else can carry the way that you have to carry them.
Yeah. Well, I certainly try not to live in regret. Of course, we always feel that we could have done something better, obviously. Mm-hmm. We could have handled things differently. I was also super young, so...
How old were you?
I was 19 when I had him. Yeah, so that's why I said I was growing up with him. But yeah, I'm a different person now, obviously, than I was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you said you could have done things differently, I'm hearing regret. And like there's some remorse there. Like, what's that about?
Well, I mean, you're young. You know, you're doing, you know, you think your things, like I knew he was going to pass, but you don't think about it when you're in that time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think it's, you know it's going to happen, but you don't think it's going to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, I like I said, I try not to live in regret, but I always feel like I wish I would have done more.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would have been there more, or instead of working so much, you know?
So a lot of if onlys,
right?
Should-haves, would-haves, could-haves.
Yeah.
So you're shooting all over yourself, basically. That's
yeah.
what I call it, shooting all over yourself. It's true. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if only I'd done this, which is really unfair because you got this hindsight bias, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to take today's expectations and put them on yesterday's experiences,
mm-hmm.
Which is really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also a really natural reaction for a parent to have. And we were talking earlier today about there's like 14 different kinds of guilt, and one of those kinds of guilt is called role guilt. And role guilt is, it was my one job to keep my child alive and I didn't fulfill that role and I feel guilty for that. And then like lots of other different kinds of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And some parents do carry that. Like if I look at my TikTok feed, mm-hmm. You'll see people say, you know, that was my job and I couldn't even do that. And blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when you start seeing that and you start hearing other people's pain, you don't assume that everybody has that thought process, but it's definitely one that as a therapist I'm looking at and going, yeah, I get it. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked a lot because I was trying to provide. I was trying to get to a point where I could give him more than what he had. You know,
was that a lot? So that was a lot placed on you?
No, that was just me doing it for myself. Like,
okay.
I wanted to reach this level of success to provide him with more.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked a lot. I wish I would have not worked as much and been there, but.
And you have that regret of wishing
yeah.
you hadn't worked as much.
Yeah. More time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you feel are your greatest wins with him?
Greatest wins. Well, just him as a person, like he was amazing. I just think him as a person, like everybody that knew him knows he was like the greatest person to have lived.
Yeah.
And they'll all tell you that.
What's life been like without him?
Sometimes it's hard to find meaning.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, boy, I didn't think I was going to cry this much. but when I feel that way, I just do it in his honor.
When you say make meaning, can you say a little bit more about that? What do you mean by that?
Jesus, I hope I can get through this. Well, there's just a big, huge hole in my heart.
It's like part of you is gone.
Yeah, definitely. But I just try to fill it with things that remind me of him.
Like what?
Joy. Art. Experiences. Yeah.
Meaning making and being able to reconstruct that is an arduous process. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to make sense of it. And the weird part of like finding benefit. Like what, I know that sounds weird, and again, another thing we were talking about earlier, it's like you look at a parent and you go, okay, well, what kind of benefit, you know, could you have gotten from losing your child? And you're like, fuck you, what do you mean, what kind of benefit? We can grow and we can change as a result. Like if we look at this as like a silver lining kind of thing, that just doesn't make sense for a lot of people. But is there anything where you're able to say, this was a terrible tragedy, but as a result of that, I have learned this. And if I'm going to suffer this loss, then at least let me learn this. And what is this?
That would be to appreciate everything. You know, just be open, be kind, be loving. Just really take the day and make it the best.
So in that way, there is a little bit of benefit finding.
Yeah, and knowing he's not suffering was huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
How have you changed as a person?
How have I changed? I've changed in... I think I just try not to sweat the small stuff. Because it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that way, you're finding that you're less, what's the word I'm looking for? You're less tied into getting too attached to the negative things that come into your life.
Correct.
So in that way, you've changed in your identity. Are there other ways in which you've changed?
I feel like everything's going to work out regardless of the situation. Nothing feels hard anymore. That's the hardest thing I'm ever going to go through.
So if you're going to, if there's a comparison, there's nothing that's worse than that.
Nothing.
Not even close.
No. Nope. So if I want to do something, I will try to do it because it's not going to be as hard.
Wow. So it's made you more courageous and a little bit more...
daring.
Daring. Oh, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Dare to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. This was not easy, I can see, to talk about him.
No.
What do you think you would want him to know?
Jesus, Garcia, you're going to make me cry. I mean, I know he's here with me all the time, so.
Can you feel him?
Yeah.
Like spiritually?
Yeah, I can feel him. Yeah, I can feel him. And others that were close to him, too. So, and I'm sure he's sitting here right next to me going, I'm not anywhere, I'm right next to you, Mom, so stop crying. Stop being a weirdo and stop crying, I'm right here. What was the question?
I don't even know. What would he say?
Oh, what would he say? Or what would he want me to know? To just make each day count.
Sometimes when I'm working with people, I'll say, pretend that the person's right there. And in an attempt to get people to like reconnect and maintain a bond with that person. And I would say, what do you, like, let's say you're like, oh, I can't believe this, I'm so stupid, and blah, blah, blah. Not that you're saying that, but, you know, I'm so stupid, and I can't believe I made that decision, and now my business is doing it. And I was like, whoa, 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 hang on a second. If Brennan was right there, what would he say to you for saying all that stuff? And that's a way of, like, continuing to maintain a bond between you and him. And that ends up becoming, like, a freaking disaster. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ends up allowing you to have a way of, I don't know, like I said, maintaining a bond that creates a dialogue, you know. Does that make sense at all? Am I making any sense at all?
Okay.
Does that make sense? What another thing I had talked about were bittersweet memories. Mm-hmm. What are you able to identify any of your own bittersweet memories of him?
What do you mean by that? Like bittersweet?
So I'll give you an example. A bittersweet memory. Christmas Day, I was 14. Damien was 10. And we used to do stockings. They were a very big deal in our family. And I mean, my mom would wrap everything. She'd wrap a lollipop. I mean, honestly, here's a sock. We're going to wrap a sock. It's very poor. So she had to wrap everything. It made us feel like we had a lot of presents. So I go into my stocking and there's a pile of chalk at the bottom of my stocking. And I went, who put a pile of chalk in my stocking? And Damien, proudest could be, that was me. And I'm like, why'd you put a pile of chalk in the bottom of my stocking? He goes, it made it look like there was more. So, you know, he died on Christmas, which is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So that's bittersweet to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, aw. And like, but aw at the same time. So sweet, but bitter at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean.
I can't really think of anything right now. I can't really think of anything.
I get shut your brain down. You're like, lady, swear to God.
Yeah.
I know. I can't imagine what that process might. What was that process like for you? That whole, you know, between the time where you said he was 4 when they took out his
right lung,
and then when he was 15 when he passed. Like all of those years, like. What was that?
Yeah,
like?
It was you know, filled with good days and it was filled with bad days. Like towards the end, he was just in and out of the hospital the whole time, so that was really tough. But he always kept such a great sense of humor all the time. Like he would always mess with the doctors, like it was pretty bad. Like he would just pretend he was like, I don't know, convulsing. Oh, like when the doctors would come in and they were like had a stethoscope and they're like,
God.
What's going on? Is he okay? I'm like, he's just messing with you. And then he would just start laughing. I'm like, Brennan, you can't do that. Like, that's not fair. And he would be like, he would die laughing because he just thought it was so hilarious to like prank people. But, you know, he was in and out of the hospital all the time. He decided in fourth grade that he didn't want to go back to school because whenever he went to school, you know, if somebody came in with the sniffles, he would end up in the hospital. He made that decision to just stay home. So then he was a little bit isolated until the internet came into play.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
He was just like, I'm not going back to school.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, I don't want to go back. I'm like, well, you're not going to have any friends if that's the choice you make, but I'm fine with it. He's like, I don't care. I'm like, okay. So he did find a bunch of friends who are amazing. They're really nice kids. I mean, almost in their 30s now, which is crazy.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's insane. But yeah, I mean, he suffered a lot, but I think he had a great support system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you homeschool him?
He was, a teacher came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he was still in the school district, but, a teacher would come out a few times a week and he would do, the work or whatever. And I have to tell the story because I just thought it was so funny. So he had an IEP, mm-hmm. and he was literally like in fourth grade or second grade, fourth grade. I don't know. He had like an eighth grade reading level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was super, super smart. And one time he got really upset because he thought he was dumb because he had an IEP. And I'm like, Brian, what are you talking about? Like, he's sobbing, like, unconsolable.
Aww.
I'm like, babe, what's wrong? What's the matter? What's wrong? And he was like, he finally got it out. He's like, I'm stupid. I'm like, you're not, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm stupid because I have an IEP. I'm like, no, you have an IEP because you're at home. You're home. What are you talking about? I'm like, no. So, you know, that, I think that was really hard for him because he didn't understand what that meant. But like, no, I'm like, you're super smart. Like, what are you talking about? So,
well, see, there's a bittersweet memory.
Yeah. Okay.
I knew you'd get the one. So what would you say to parents who are saying, like, I'm never going to come back from this? Like, it's impossible. My life is over.
Yeah. It's hard for sure. It doesn't get easier, but you end up having more good days than bad days. So in the beginning, it's always bad because there's a huge, huge void. But then, you know, as you go along, your life passes, you end up having more good days. You find the joy. You know, I would tell parents to just find the joy in everything. Find your child in every moment.
Ooh, find your child in every moment.
Yeah. Because sometimes that's all you can attach yourself to, is finding the joy in every moment. You know, even like when it rains, like I hate the rain, makes my curly hair, you know, really frizzy, but he loved the rain. So now I embrace it and I'm like, hi, Brendan, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So anything that reminds you of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just turn it into joy, no matter how small. It could be just a gust of wind that cools you down when you're really hot. You know, just find the joy in that.
Just reconnect. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it has a lot to do with like finding ways to reconnect.
Yeah.
And to remember that, you know, the child's always going to be with you.
Yeah.
Because that's that hole you were talking about. It's like, how do you fill that? And I guess there's just not a way to fill in a void.
No, I mean, your heart breaks, but it, as my girlfriend says, it's broken open, you know.
Broken open.
Yeah, it's broken open, and you allow the light to go in. Yeah.
What haven't I asked you about that you think would be important for me to know, or any of us to know?
That it's really important for you to get in touch with yourself if you are struggling with the loss of a child. Definitely do a lot of soul searching. There are tons of books that I've read in the past that have helped me connect with myself and allow yourself to feel the feelings.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
What about reconnecting with or connecting with like bereaved parent groups? Like, we run a bereaved parent support group here, or like therapy group here. And I know I've run one with the person that usually runs the groups, and I mean, it was freaking magical.
That's
absolutely
beautiful.
Magical. And to watch the healing that happened between the parents, you know, all their losses were different than one another, but there was a similarity, that little string that connected everybody. So there was something that was really, at least came through valuably. And I think that was really, healing for a lot of them. So do you think that would be anything that would be of help to people?
I think so. I personally didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think I was not, first of all, I didn't know about them. I mean, I kind of did, but I just didn't want to share that with anybody. But no, I think it definitely is beautiful if you have a support system. I think, especially, you know, being in that club is not a fun one.
It's,
you know,
a crappy
it's one of the
club.
Hardest
yeah.
clubs to be in.
Sure.
And I never want anybody to join it. But if you have other parents that can help support you, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what are three takeaways from this today for parents to know?
I have my notes too because I did write them down. Sorry. So, find the joy in everything, no matter how small. I think that's very important. If you can't find the strength to move forward, channel your loved one and do it in their honor.
Oh.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I can't get out of bed, but it's like, okay, what would Brendan want? You know, be like, get your ass out of bed, go do blah, blah, blah. So that's what I do.
So you call him up for your, yeah. as a form of power and yep. strength.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's, there is life after death, but you have to be intentional.
You have to be intentional.
Mm-hmm. You have to basically just do it. Do it for them, do it for yourself, do it for other people, like whatever it is. If you don't have the strength for yourself, like there is life. It's incredibly difficult at first, but once you say, okay, I'm going to do this, mm-hmm. just go do it.
Just definitely having the intention behind it.
Yes.
For sure. I know that wasn't easy to tell your story, and I'm thank you for the grace in which you've done that. I feel very lucky to be able to witness it, and I think this is an important topic to be able to open up for people to look at, because it's one that a lot of people are too scared to talk about. You know, I think a lot of people, just in my experience, it's like, they think that people are sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of hearing right. about it. It's been 2 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, to know that this takes a long time.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, this is not like, I hate to say it, but I mean, certain losses take longer than others.
Yeah.
And, you know, to heal from. And I just think that this is one of those kinds of losses that takes a very long time to heal from.
Yeah.
You know, we are in a society in which we expect there's going to be a normal, quote-unquote, trajectory. You know, the parent is going to outlive the child. Mm-hmm. The child will outlive their children. Mm-hmm. And we anticipate that, you know, life will be able, you know, but you from the get-go said, you know what, I don't think that's going to happen. And so walking into that space and raising a child without that, without feeling that you're going to be able to outlive your child, you gotta sit with that every single day.
Yep.
Yeah. And not knowing if today's gonna be that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely tough, but we all get through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you've definitely gotten through it. You continue to move forward. I don't like this whole moving on business. I'm not a fan of that.
It's moving forward.
It's moving forward.
And
you've moved forward, and I know sometimes it's not easy. You know, I know that there's certain days of the year that I contact you. How are you doing today?
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm grateful.
Yeah. Oh, always.
Yeah. I will say that I think some people may feel guilty mm-hmm. for laughing or having fun, but that's what they would want, you know.
Yeah.
Just because they're gone doesn't mean you can't have joy in your life.
Right.
I think that's important because they would be really upset if you lived a life of depression and not being able to get out of bed. You know what I mean? Like they wouldn't want that.
Right.
So just live it in their honor. If you can't do it for yourself,
do it for them.
Yeah, do it for them.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, of course. Well, thank you for joining me with Dr. Z, Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z. If you have any questions or comments, for those of you watching on YouTube, go right underneath and write them out, you know, down in the comment section. I'll be happy to look at those and answer those in a question and answer period. And if you're interested, give it about 30 seconds. And you'll get a link if you just continue to listen. If you feel like this has been valuable to you, if you feel like this is going to be something that you would like to engage in as a community to be able to continue to have conversations about death, loss, grief, and trauma, there will be a link. And that link should be able to take you to a location where, not a location, you're not going to like teleport somewhere, but it'll take you to a page where I will be present once a week for about 2 hours, where we can have live question and answers, to be able to consider maybe, you know, other topics that maybe you have questions about. And, you know, as a professional or even as a person just trying to walk this path. So keep an eye out for that. I think there'll be a QR code. If it's not a QR code, what's the other code? Barcode, like a barcode. It'll be one of the two. So keep an eye out for that. Hope to see you there. And thanks a lot for joining us. And thanks again.
Thank you for listening to Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it, subscribe, and leave a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. We want to be a resource for anyone who is experiencing loss, and this is a simple way you can help us spread the word. Check out our show description. There you'll find a link to connect with me on social media, as well as helpful articles and resources.